Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Welcome to the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast. I'm on your own, Dano, roadside at the moment because I am out in the middle of buttfuck nowhere. And with me, as always, we have Paddo. Welcome, Paddo.
Yes, hello, Dano. Thank you. Yeah, welcome aboard. Hope everyone had an okay week, and let's jump straight into it.
Yep, Paddo, we got some questions that we didn't actually get to ask last time because we just got so distracted. So can you rapid fire these questions away before we get into injuries and suspensions?
Yeah, so we're going to make up for last week by going straight into questions to the start. So first off on Facebook, we had Liam. So Liam says, I've seen a heap of guys on Supercoach pages talking about trading the likes of Newcomb and Fisher after one game. I have both players and don't see the need to trade them. They both have the roles to score well. What do you lads think?
I'm always one for trying to hold on for a couple of weeks, see how they go before jumping off now. And that's because of my horror run last year with Sean Darcy. And in the end, I ended up trading that fucker back in. So anyway, Paddo, what's your thoughts?
See, I don't think Newcomb is quite of the Sean Darcy ilk. Sean Darcy has at least proven himself in AFL. So I was actually having a chat with Liam pre-round one about Newcomb, and I just sort of said, look, he's a Mad Hawks man. So that's why I said, look, back your gut and see how he goes. I don't think you can jump off after 1 week. His price won't change this week. So I think you hold on to him for another week. If he gets sub 80 again, I think you can flick him off next week. And then you've got 2 weeks, at least 2 weeks of data on some other guys. Fisher, I'm actually probably trading up myself, Dana.
Ooh, I'm going to hold that motherfucker for another week, even though I got the cash. Next question, Paddo.
So in a very similar ilk, Ian, long-time listener, thank you, Ian, has said, after a rather lackluster start, my worst in several years, it's catch-up time. What do you think the better play is? Conservative, trade Gibkiss, swap Yo to defense and bring in Sharp, or go aggressive, use a boost, trade out Gibkiss, Reed and Fisher by trading in Billings, Sharp and Massimo? I'm leaning towards the conservative approach. Let's let others burn their trades. Hope Fisher comes good and wait for other teams to burn through trades and trade into more carnage. Hopefully catch up second half of the year. Thoughts, boys?
So I'm going the conservative approach this year, Paddo, because last year the aggressive approach did not work at all. So I feel like save your boost. That's my opinion. And Paddo, I have a feeling you're going to go the aggressive play.
Yeah, I went way too conservative last year and it cost me. You know, it was just too much ground to play, make up. So I'm going aggressive. I'm probably at this stage doing three trades to jump into round two, and Fisher is one of those trade outs. Gibkiss is a forced trade out, and we'll address that. But yeah, I'm probably going with three trades myself.
Yep. Now, any other questions there, Paddo?
Yeah. So Nerds for Life asked, this is probably one more for you, Dano. Yep. What are your thoughts on Briggs spent only 60%-ish of the game on the field?
Yeah, look, Briggles doesn't usually play a super high amount of time on ground anyway, but he usually makes up for it with tackles, marks and disposals, and not so much hitouts. Yeah, I just think he just had one of those games, in all honesty.
Yeah, hopefully he comes good. I'm not sure if Nerds for Life actually started Briggs. Definitely didn't listen to me if that was the case. But yeah, hopefully he does come good for you. I do know he has a fairly decent run for opposing rucks coming up. And also has West Coast coming up as well, which is pretty good, obviously. Now, we had one question on Twitter, and that came from Daniel, and that was, is it worth burning a boost to flick Nick Martin to Isaac Heaney?
I feel like Nick Martin's role's there. Especially in that first half, he had 18 disposals to half time. He just used it fucking shit. And that's very un-Nick Martin-like. So I feel like it's one of those, you know how we talk about spike games? I feel like it's going to be one of those down games for Nick Martin. And will everyone's that's trading him out will regret it after this round.
Yeah, agreed. He had 25 touches still and went at 56%. So it would not shock me if this was Nick Martin's worst Supercoach score for the year by a long way. And I know Fisher's role was there as well. Fisher looks a lot worse in that role, and has never really looked like an AFL caliber player, whereas Nick Martin has had two very good years before this year. So in saying that, he's averaging what, 135? About to go up in price, like it's tough.
Yeah, it's tough. I think people need to just find another avenue to get Heaney in if they want him. I wouldn't trade a primo to him myself.
Yep, agreed.
We'll go on to injuries and suspensions now, Pato. So we'll rapid fire through these. So everyone knows Josh Kipchoge, ACL, he's out for the season. We'll talk about some rookie options and whatnot. Zach Reed, another fucking defender rookie. Pinged a hammy 4 to 6 weeks. Mason Redmond, suspended for 1 week from the Dons. I don't know what the fuck's going on here. Is this all from the one game, Pato? The Oscar McDonald, Brennan Cox, Wagner,
Yep.
and Warner?
Yep.
Jesus
Freo was smashed.
Christ. So Hayden Young potentially might have to go back into defense there.
So
Jesus Christ.
Longmuir actually came out and said that's a very real possibility that the Young does go back into defense to cover those gaps.
Yeah. And then we got James fucking Harms suspension 1 week. So there's the injuries and suspensions done. Pato, rookie trade-in options. We'll talk about on the bubble in each line, and then we'll talk about the ones that have had one game that could improve. So to start with, we got Howes from the Demons on the bubble in defense, 123K minus 86 break even. If you don't have him, should you get him in?
Yeah, at a negative 86 break even, I think if you are one of the 52% of teams that don't have Blake Howes, I think you need to find a way to get him, especially if you have Gibkiss. That is a pretty easy trade for mine.
Now, this run sheet was done before the games came out, Pato. So Charlie Dean has actually been dropped
Yes.
by Collingwood. So we did have him on there. So we're going to scrap him, and because he's now a or whatever, he's still two gamer, but on the bubble, but not playing this week. So we go to the one gamers in defense. Massimo D'Ambrosio, 224K, scored a big 1-2-2 after one game, minus 37 break even. I feel like people are jumping the gun on him at the moment. I feel like they should just wait another week. It could be a spike game. He is playing on the wing at the moment, and we know how wingmen are in Supercoach. You can get 122 1 week and then a 47 or something the next. What are your thoughts, Pato?
See, I like it.
Whoa.
I'm probably bringing him in more for the cash than anything. The guy had 29 touches.
Yep.
The role looks good. He won't get 120. He's not a keep up by any stretch of the imagination, but I think he'll be a really nice D6 for us through the buys. And if he can get a spike 100 plus score and be part of the best 18, then great. If not, he's just a cash cow for me. I'll squeeze out all the cash from him and then flick him down to hopefully Charlie Dean in a month or 6 weeks when he comes back into the team.
Yep. Next one, we got Marty Hoare, 123K, 60. He scored minus 13. I was at this game, Pato. It was fucking hilarious because this lady sitting behind me goes, "Oh, who's that bloke there that just marked the ball? I've never seen him before." I said, "He used to fucking play for your team." so I don't mind Marty Hoare. Seeing him live was actually not too shibby shabby. I do want to see another game out of him, though. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think he's got scoring pedigree. So if you have the other defensive rookies that you need and you're looking for a Gibkiss trade out option, I think Marty Hall is really good, especially with the Dean news.
Nick Caulfield's the next one, 123K, scored a 49, minus 2 break even. I think his job security is sound, in all honesty, Pato. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it won't be a quick money maker, but he'll make enough cash to warrant it. Worth noting that ignore the break evens, they will improve after another score. That's just after one game. Yeah, absolutely nailed on. Probably more nailed on than Toby Pink, who we're about to talk about. And arguably even Marty Hoare as well. I'm glad I didn't put Hoare and Pink next to each other. We would have had a bit of a black dick situation like in the NBA jersey swap stadium.
Yeah. Anyway, Toby Pink in the stink. 123K, 44 he got, three break even. I don't like this at all. Man, he started the game on fucking Riccardi, who'd been struggling, and they ended up having a Riccardi party on him. And it just got worse from there. So I can't see how Pink
Made
stays in that team.
he made Riccardi look like a good AFL player. He had three goals in the first quarter.
Correct. That's how bad Pink was.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
But North don't have the options. That's the problem.
oh,
But
they will soon. They will
they've
soon.
got Biggie Nguyen, who got a big hit in a VFL practice game. So he is likely to be out this week. So
They got both Dawsons.
Dawson played. Callan Dawson played.
Yep, and then the other Dawson as well they've got. Both key defenders. So they've got options. Pink, I don't like. We'll move on to the midfield anyway on the bubble. So Matty Roberts, 156K minus 58 break even. I feel like he's one of those guys that you gotta lock in there.
Yeah, the role is too good. Not quite as good as in round zero, but you still, I think, need to bring him in if you don't have him as part of that halfback rotation. Yeah, got to bring him in.
Yep, Caleb Windsor's another 180K minus 30 break even. I'm still questionable on this kid as to whether or not he's a must have, but if you've got the luxury of bringing him in, then I say do it.
So I mentioned last week that it wouldn't shock me if he had a pretty good score this week on a bigger ground in the G. He was subbed out on 72 Dano in 63% game time. He was on track for a 90 odd score. So very stiff to get subbed out there. Maybe just a fitness issue with being so young. But I think it's promising. Yeah, I think we need a. We can't really wait and see. At 180K, it's probably a no.
Yeah, and we are from the Giants. Not we are from the Giants, but we're from the Giants. 123K. He's got a minus 25 break even, but his job security is not that great, Pato, and I would advise not bringing him in.
Yeah, no, agreed.
One thing before we go on to the one game mids, Pato, is there's some whispers. Can I call them Dano's whispers? I don't know.
Yes, new segment.
Dano's whispers. Riley Sanders might be the starting sub this week, Pato.
Oh no.
So I don't know what day they play, but I would prepare for that just in case. Yeah.
Fucking Bevo.
Fucking Bevo. Anyway.
They play 1 o'clock on Sunday, so the
Oh, that's so bad. Yeah, shit.
That is bad because you can't even loop a Darcy Wilson or anything.
Nah, you can't. I might just play him on the bench. Fuck it. Anyway, Dano's whispers right there. Hopefully we get more info before then. Midfield, one gamers. Jeremy Sharp, 123K, 70 he scored, minus 23 break even. Looks good job security wise there, Pato, with all of these players going down in defense and Young going back there most likely. Means that Jeremy Sharp could stay in that midfield rotation.
He might even get a cheeky half back role, which is even better for him.
Yeah, that too. Shit. True,
So
true.
for me, it's a wait one more week and see. But yeah, keep him on your radar. He might be a sort of rookie correctional next week.
Yep. Wilson from the Saints, 130K, 66. He scored, not minus 17 break even. I feel like this kid is a must have.
Aye, Wilson, bring him in.
Yep. Same with Colby McKercher, 202K. He's got an 88 there, so a minus 12 break even. Priority number one, Pato, if you don't have him.
I Can't believe I contemplated not starting this guy. 64% of teams. He was expensive, but with that role at North Melbourne, learning from the King Seagull himself, yeah, you got to. This is, yeah, a big priority, I think, this week.
Yep. And we've got Harley Reid there, 207K, got a 78, zero break even. I feel like most people would have Harley Reid, but if you don't, get him in.
Yeah, I did not start him, so I need to find a way to get him in next week.
Yeah. And then this is the one that intrigues me. Dersma from North, 193K. He scored a 71. He's got a one break even. We felt like this guy, because he's playing up in the forward line, he wouldn't have that scoring potential. You got a 71, so that's pretty decent. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I didn't catch a lot of this game, even though my big POD was in the game dominating. But fan footy have him as playing a half forward role, which isn't as bad as that forward pocket role. So one to keep an eye on. He's a bit more expensive at 193K. That's hard to spend that much on a North Melbourne forward. But yeah, keep an eye on. If he gets another 70 odd next week and looks okay, we might have to try and get him in next week.
Now, forwards on the bubble. First of all, we got Tom Berry from the Suns, 163K, minus 75 break even. Now, Pato, someone messaged me saying, Dano, Berry or Windsor? Who should I pick? And honestly, I'd say Tom Berry myself, not because he got that massive game, but because under Dimmer, and Dimmer loves his pressure forwards, he's going to excel. And he can get a 60 odd from like six touches because he just tackles, tackles, tackles. So I actually really like Tom Berry, and then he can get those spike games where he does get double-digit disposals. What are your thoughts?
See, here's my dilemma. I've got room to bring in one forward this week, and it's either Billings or Tom Berry. And Tom Berry has one game before a bye, whereas Billings has more than that. I think Billings has three or four before his bye.
Yeah, that's a bit tough. Billings is
Yeah.
243K with a break even of five, so I get that dilemma there, Pato. What are you going to do? Or are you going to flip a coin?
At the moment, I'm leaning towards Billings only to help on field scores because I think he is capable of that score. Next week that 11 comes out of his rolling average. Not next week, the week before, the week after.
Yep.
And I think his price will spike a lot. And being a maturer body, I think he probably will do a bit better. Berry will probably make more cash, but the week off worries me with so many Giants and Suns players already in my team. I don't think I can trade into one. The Scott father, interestingly, is looking at bringing in Berry for 1 week and then trading him out next week, which is an interesting play.
Oh.
Could give you a quick 80K, but I'm not sure it's worth the two trades personally.
Yeah. Talking about Suns and Giants players, we got Sexton 133K on the bubble, minus 62. And then we've got Aaron Cadman 127K with a minus 56 break even. So there are our forward rookies on the bubble. Don't mind, like, Sexton's a must have. Cadman's kind of like, for me personally, if you didn't start him, knowing that he was playing North Melbourne and West Coast, for me, there's no point in bringing him in now because these are going to be his two highest scoring games, in my opinion, and one's already gone.
Yeah, I think if you're going to trade one of these three in, it's probably Sexton because the role is probably the best out of the three of them. But I agree, you can't be really trading into these guys, honestly. Especially Cat, yeah, Cabin would be the last option for me if you're trading into them. But just remember, they don't play next week, so keep that in mind.
Yeah. Now, fuck this, Pato, because every season there's the one that gets away for me. And last time it was Jack Buckley. This time it's Dempsey of Geelong, 148K. He scored a big fat 96, minus 41 break even. Actually, fucking livid. I did not back myself and select him. I'm going to leave him for another week and see how he goes, though. But oh, Jesus, he looked good. He backed up that preseason form.
Yeah, interestingly, they subbed out Tyson Stengel in that game, Dano. And I don't know, the role is a bit up and down. So I agree. One more week, but it could be a Dempsey trade-in week next week with a 96 in his rolling average.
Agreed. Agreed. Now, Pato, we will keep going on. Now we've got some primo trade-ins that we can talk about. If you haven't noticed, guys, we're trying to do a rapid-fire podcast because my fucking laptop in this car is draining every second. So if we sound like we're talking fast, it's because I
Yeah.
also need to upload this afterwards to Pato because I've got no editing equipment on this laptop. Anyway, so defensive premiums. We've got Lukey Ryan to kick us off with 611K. A big fat 165 in there, and in 3% of teams, he's got no early buy Pato, and he looks to be able to take the piss in that back line and do what he wants. Issue being if Young goes back there, but I don't see that Young impacting him too much, to be honest.
Yeah, so if you compare heat maps with Luke Ryan with this year being one game and last year, Luke Ryan is getting up the ground and looks to be a little bit less accountable. I think there is a slight beige flag there where Young could be more in that role and Ryan has to play a little bit more accountable. But he had most of the kick-ins, pretty much went wherever he wanted. Kind of like a James Sicily, Tom Stewart role from last year. I'm trading into this week, Dano.
Oh, he's going the fake primo. Start
I
us off.
am. I am. I've
Wowee.
seen enough. I'm convinced. I'm actually going Young to Ryan.
Wowee. Okay. Well, we'll move on to the next one, which is Harry Sheezel, 556K, a big fat 130, 50% ownership. That does not surprise me in the slightest. Doesn't have an early buy, and he looks like he will, no matter what, get like almost 30 touches, if not more, every week for me. He's just taking the piss back there. So I feel like he's a safe bet, Pato.
Yeah, his heat map is ridiculous. He's all over the ground. Just has license to do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. Teaching McKercher all the pigeon slut ways, and I love it. And I'm glad I started him.
Andy McGrath's an interesting one, Pato. So he's 485K. A nice 131 in there in 0.8% of teams. Now, we've always known Andy McGrath that early draft, well, he was a pick one or something, I think he was.
One, yeah. Mind you, they shouldn't have had that fucking pick because it was the year they
Correct.
cheated. But anyway,
Yeah.
let's not go there.
Yeah. But anyway, we knew he had the potential and he's been teasing for years and years and years, but never got that consistency. Now, he's pumped out this 131. He looked better than Nick Martin off that half back line. I wouldn't trade him in straight away. I'd want to see another week from Andy McGrath. What are your thoughts there?
I was going to say the same thing. I want to see it for another week. But if I compare heat maps, and again, I'm talking about heat maps a lot, but I did some research today. Nick Martin was a lot more confined to the defensive 50, whereas Andrew McGrath covered that whole defensive 50 and a lot of wing area. So it's almost like McGrath had the role that we thought Nick Martin was going to have, and having basically free license to go wherever he wants and get a bunch of the footy, and that he did, and he scored a 130 odd, and I think it's one we need to keep an eye on because he is so cheap, and we kind of have to make that decision next week. No early buy as well, which people know I'm huge on, and less than 1% of teams as we speak. I have a feeling if he goes 110 plus against the Swans this week, that will jump up a lot next week as a really cheap option.
I'm definitely keeping a close eye on him there as well.
And I just want to say, nailing these sort of picks early before the breakout has really happened can really catapult you up the rankings. It is risky because it can backfire, but these are the sort of picks you need to make early.
Yeah, and I'm with the 40 trades, who gives a fuck?
True. Just jump straight back off him.
pretty much, yeah. Dan Houston's our next one, 593K. He got a 114 in 11% of teams. Traded him out just before our lockout, but fuck it. Who cares? So he only got 18 disposals, Pato, at 83%. So he's got a 114 there. When he gets those 24, 25, he goes relatively solid. So sounds like Champion Data might have a nice little favorite in defense there.
Yeah, I want to say these sort of picks happen every fucking year where guys will get 20 odd touches and somehow turn up every time. And I didn't catch this game. I'm not going to put myself through a West Coast game too often. However, 18 touches at 83% without any goals. Only 7 of them contested. Like, it doesn't scream 114 to me. And I feel like this could be a bit of a champion data love story this year. And yeah, I think he needs to be on people's radars, because if they've picked him to be the random ton maker this year, then we're going to need to jump on and ride it.
Yep, correct. And then the last one in defense, we've got Lockie Bramble at the Doggies. 292K, he scored a 107 in 0.7% of teams. He's one of those guys to keep an eye on, Pato, because he is sub 300K just. But if you started a Connor Butterick, for example, and he's, you kind of want to jump off, I actually don't mind Lockie Bramble, but if you're going to jump off Connor Butterick, you're going to have to do it this week. That's the issue.
Why do you have to do it this week?
He's played 2 games, Pato.
Hasn't Butterick scored well?
He scored a 17 last round.
True.
Yeah. So yeah. People are worried.
I would be too. I don't know about jumping on Bramble just yet. I think you need to see it for another week, especially in that Bulldogs team. Kind of flying under the radar because he changed teams and it was kind of a weird fit because Western Bulldogs have 26 fucking halfbacks on their list, but looks to have won the Bevo Salad Lottery. So maybe it will be a decent pick, but yeah, wait one more week from me.
Yep, and as I was there live, I'm pretty sure he kicked a snaggeroonie too.
He did kick a snaggeroonie.
Yep. Midfielders, Pato. The glaringly obvious one with his 46 disposals is Caleb Sarong at 621K. Scored a wonderful 170. And in 10% of teams, I feel like the tag has to come. Teams are going to have to lock that down or pay more close attention to it, because I'm literally just waiting for a clamp to be made by Brisbane, and it never came, and it was so dumb. What are your thoughts?
It was a fairly odd one. There could be one coming this week from North Melbourne. Yeah, obviously don't expect 165 every week. It was very dumb that they didn't put anyone on him. But yeah, I think he needs to be on people's radar. See how he goes against North this week. Then he has Adelaide and Carlton, which are decent matchups.
Yeah.
Then Port Adelaide, which he may get a tag against, but then West Coast, the Dogs, Richmond, it's looking okay. So, hey, he could put himself in that top 10 realm this year.
Yeah, potentially. The other one that we've got in the midfield is Jack Steele at 529K. He scored a nice 119 in 13% of teams. Now, this is one of those fallen primos that you ignore their last year's score and you focus on the previous seasons. He looks to have gotten over his injuries. He could be the Jack Steele of old this year, and you're getting him sub even 550K a year, 529K. So he's kind of in the realms of Tuk Miller for me, in that he should be over 600K, but he's not. And yeah, I feel like he's a great value pick.
Yeah, agreed. I haven't mentioned the obvious this week, Dano, in the Suns and Giants guys, because they've got a bye next week. So if you're looking at those guys, you've got to cop the price rise and then look at them post-bye in 2 weeks. Raoul averaging 146, Tom Green averaging 142. Don't get sucked in by those guys too early, because you're not going to have them next week. So if for whatever reason you feel like you need Jack Steele and some value, I wouldn't hate trading into that because of the value, but you shouldn't just start him if you like him.
Yep. Now, Ruckline, we have Big Maxi Gorn at 583K, 117. He scored 49% ownership. I did a sneaky Pato because I was trying to find some extra cash and went down to Gorn 10 seconds before lockout for this game. So, yeah, he bounced right the fuck back. He scored 160 something, Pato, for that 117 average. Yeah. So just back your boys in. Back them in. If you got Gorn, good on you. Might be a bit hard if you didn't start him, though. That's all.
Yeah, like there's no obvious ruck trade outs, so there's nothing you can do now. But yeah, he was always going to bounce back.
Yeah. Tristan Cherry is another one, Pato, 407K, 107 average, 6% of teams. Got a good bit of value there at 407K, if you want to free up some cash from someone else. But will this be consistent from Cherry? That's the thing that you got to weigh up. If you back him in to be consistent, and let's say average between 102 and 105, sweet, back him in, free up that cash, upgrade elsewhere. I wouldn't pick him personally to be just a cash cow at 407K. I feel like it's too much, Pato. What are your thoughts?
Look, I think it depends. If you are one of the 2% of teams that started Kieran Briggs with a break even 171, I can see the downgrade being really helpful when you gain 200K from that, but also obviously able to use that cash elsewhere on someone you might have missed. So I can see that play being well. I wouldn't be trading out of a Gorn or English or Marshall. I think they are going to be the three big dogs this year, which we kind of already knew. But I can see the Briggs down to Cherry play being pretty liable, viable, not liable, viable.
Yeah.
Worth noting that he's got West Coast this week as well. That's
Ooh, juicy.
wait, no, sorry, Briggs has West Coast. So he
That's
might
also juicy.
actually get that 171 break even, but he probably won't. So cash out and run could be an option to use that 200K to get to a Heaney, if you like, as an example.
Yep. Which leads us into our forward lines, Pato. Great segue. We've got Isaac Heaney at 483K. Big 140 average, 24% ownership. Fuck me dead. That was not 24% when I started that prick. And minus 12 break even. Look, he looks great in that midfield. And what for listeners, I haven't mentioned this bloke in ages, but the Oracle is my father, and he said in preseason, looking at he was a very high level coach way back when. And he said, looking at Heaney in the middle, straight away, he said exactly what you said, Pato. He's like, he could win a Brownlow in there. But the other thing that he noticed is that he's smiling way more than normal. And they just look like a much better team with him there. And he thinks that Horse would be absolutely butt fuck crazy to remove him out of there while he's feeling that good and in this kind of form. And I
Especially
agree.
when Sydney are also playing well as a team. So
Yeah.
it makes a lot of sense. Obviously, we'll see what happens when Adams comes back and then ultimately Mills and Parker as well. But I think, yeah, I think they surely do everything they can to keep him in there and hopefully Heaney becomes a keeper. But I think with his break even at negative 12, which is pretty fucking nuts.
Yeah.
With a projected score of 91, he goes up 47K this week. He's scoring more than 91 this week, Dano.
Oh, yeah.
Worth noting, he's had 144, 136 against two of the better midfields in the comp in Melbourne and Collingwood, and has Essendon, Richmond, West Coast in his next three games before a bye. This is a pre-buy trading that I can advocate, not only because of the price, but because of the scoring capability.
110%. Also, just another one. Taylor Adams, when he comes back, something tells me he could play off the half back flank and just leave Heaney in the middle.
R.I.P. Matty Roberts.
But we'll get to that when Taylor Adams comes back. The next one is the one that Pato started. It's a Pato party over here with Jesse Hogan at 419K, 139 average, 1% of teams, Pato, and that is you, big boy. At minus 46 break even. Fuck yes. You called the shit out of this man, so you can take it away.
And I want to also add back your fucking gut. I was going to VC this guy, and you and Scobie talked me out of it. And I went with who did I VC? I can't remember who I VC'd. I VC'd Tom Stewart for 105 and went with Bontempelli at 126, which isn't horrible, obviously, but fuck, a 165 would have been good after being so high on this pick. Probably not a trading option if I'm absolutely honest, but he will go up a lot of cash this week. He'll have a week off. I'm going to have to hold him post that as well because his break even will probably still be in the negative next week.
I told you. I told you you would not offload him like at his buy because it'll just be too good.
And I'm telling you, this could be a sideways to Dacos. And I said it last week.
Legit. He could pump out a big 150, 160 this week. Even if he has a couple of 60s and 70s, he'll still catapult in price after this week. So, yeah, well played. Well played.
Thank you.
Archie Perkins, okay, the Archie Perkins set. 368K, big 124. He's in 1% of teams, 14 break even. He's one to watch because his coach actually compared him to Isaac Heaney, funnily enough. He said he's not of the same ilk as Isaac Heaney because he's more established, but same kind of player. Forward, mid forward, drafted as a mid, playing forward really well, can roll into the midfield and change things up. We could see this happen again until Parrish comes back. We could see this happen more when he, or obviously after school holidays, because Stringer's going to fucking blitz it in the school holidays coming up. But after school holidays, Perkins could do that as well. So I'd definitely keep an eye on this kid.
Yeah, I want to see the midfield group with Parrish first, and hopefully Parrish does play this week so we can see how that looks. But I think Merritt, Parrish, and Setterfield are three guys that really can only play midfield, and that kind of squeezes Perkins out. Hopefully he can at least play a Flanders-type role where he gets at least 40, 50% CBAs every game and they really tighten up that midfield. But, I mean, they've got a lot of guys to rotate through there, including your ex-Giants boy, plus Jai Caldwell. Cool. Actually, he was ex-Giants as well, wasn't he?
Correct.
So you've got Caldwell, you've got Scheel, you've got the kid fiddler, you've got Sammy Durham, even Nick Martin. Like, there's a lot of sort of guys to go through there. So I want to see it with Parrish and the team first, but fuck, he looked good. 12 yep. tackles too, by the way, Dano.
Yep, 110%. Now, just before I go into this next bit, there's someone walking right past the car and has flipped me off for recording in the car. Oh, shit.
Wow, that is wild.
I am actually in Morwell right now.
Oh, that say no more.
So, thank you, Morwell. Appreciate it. But anyway, we are not called the Supercoach Co-Captains for nothing. Every week, we give you guys VC and C options to set your team apart from the rest. I've lost my shit up. oh, fuck. Okay, let me get onto it. Jesus Christ. Thursday, we have St Kilda taking on Collingwood at the MCG. Paddo, this one is going to be an interesting one. Considering Brad Crouch has just been dropped by St Kilda too. No injury or anything, just straight out admitted. Who have you got?
I actually think that gives off a huge clue that they're going to run Windhager in the midfield to run with Nick Dacos.
Yeah, that is an interesting look at it. Correct. Yeah.
So I mean, the easy way would be to say Nick Dacos as a VC. But I'm not sure I love anyone else, Dano. Or maybe a Jack Steele, but I don't think he's VC worthy yet.
I feel like he's going to pump out a 140 after you just said that.
Well, VC him then.
Yeah, I'm not too keen on Dacos this week, just because of that Windhager tag. But then again, with Dacos, if he's getting tagged in the middle, right, they'll just switch him to defense. They can use him in so many different positions that if something's not going right, they can change him. So it wouldn't surprise me if Dacos still goes 120 and he starts off slow because Windhager's hanging off of him, and then he shifts to defense, takes kick-ins and shit like that. So I'd still say Dacos for a 120.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. Jack Sinclair's back in this game too, by the way. So it'd be interesting to see how Nasiah, Wanganeen, Miller, and Riley Bonner play with him.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll move on
maybe
to...
that's the other thing. Maybe Sinclair will play midfield.
Yeah, well, yeah, true. Anyway, we'll move on to Friday, and we have at Adelaide Oval, the Adelaide Crows versus the Geelong Cats. I feel like a Rory Laird could get off the chain in this one. Paddo, I, yeah. Or a Tommy Stewart, potentially. But I'd be more focused on a Rory Laird type.
Tom Stewart doesn't have the best record against Adelaide. They do tend to throw a Berry type on him to lock down. I think Riley O'Brien could have a big game against the Cats, but not many people have Riley O'Brien. I like any of the Adelaide midfielders as a VC, so Laird, Dawson,
Yep.
either of those would be fine. Maybe a Dangerfield sort of villain arc, but I mean it's been 30 years since he played there, so
You like Max Holmes?
no.
No? Okay, we'll move on then. Straight
He
out
nearly
the
made
back.
the run sheet, but no.
Yeah, fair, fair. Saturday, we got North Melbourne versus the Frio Dockers at Marvel Stadium. Paddo, will North Ball tag Caleb Sarong? I don't think they will.
Get me my bag of cheezels.
Yeah, big slut on this one.
114 last year in round two. And that goes up. I think I like the matchup at Marvel Stadium under the roof.
Yeah.
I think Sheasel could go off again. At the moment is my VC.
Yep, don't mind it. You don't like Caleb Sarong at all?
I have a feeling North will tag.
Ah, fair, fair, fair. Any others from this game, Pato? Maybe a nat fight. No, I'm kidding. What am I?
Luke Jackson is a cheeky POD. I know there was talk of Reedy possibly coming into ruck and Jackson being moved back forward, but I don't hate the Jackson call. Cherry does concede a fair few points to opposition rucks in his short career. So Jackson could, but I'm just not sure he goes big enough to warrant a VC.
Yeah, this was the worry about Jackson the whole time for me, was if they were going to chuck in another ruck or not. But anyway, yeah, I like the Shees in this one. An LDU probably could pop off as well. He's a bit more physical than, to be honest, I think the Fremantle mids will like. And he'll get a fair few tackly tackles in this one. So I don't mind him either. We'll move on to Hawthorn versus Melbourne at the
Or Luke
MCG.
Ryan, by the way.
Oh, you forgot Luke Ryan. Yep, fair enough. Hawthorn versus Melbourne at the MCG. I feel like it's got to be Clary time now, Paddo.
Oh, that's not a bad shout. Yeah, I feel like they clamped down on Petrarca and let Clary do his thing and
Yep.
could be a really big trade-in option next week.
Yeah, I feel like he should have been scoring higher than what he has been. And yeah, he's the one that I'm eye fucking the most. Everyone's talking about Goulden. Everyone's talking about Jordan Dawson dropping in price and whatnot, but Clary's the one for me. And I feel like this is he's gonna be his real big game where he could even go 170, honestly. Yeah.
Depends if he sees Joel Smith before the game or not.
Oh, Pato. Hello. Anyone else in this one?
Nah.
James
Don't,
Sicily for getting
worth
off.
noting,
Yeah,
Max Gawn isn't an option. Hawthorn do clamp down on opposition rucks, so I'd be steering clear of that. Obviously, don't trade him out, but I wouldn't put the VC on him.
yep. We go to Sydney versus Essendon at the SCG, Paddo. Who you got in this one?
Heaney is the obvious one.
The Heen dog, yep. Any others?
No.
No Errol
Maybe
Goulden?
Grundy, but I mean, Goldstein isn't the worst ruck even at his age.
No Errol?
No, not at the SCG.
Yeah, fair enough. Not a Zachy Merritt?
I said this last week, but I feel like Sydney tags. But they
Yeah.
didn't last week, so I could be wrong on that again.
I feel like they're running too good that they be like, we don't need to fucking tag you guys.
They actually kind of tagged Jordan Degoe at the start of that game, but I had to leave for my basketball game, so I didn't actually see if that stuck or whether it moved around. But Rowbottom kind of he find his own footy too much to be a proper tagger. I'm more of a negator, but yeah, I like Heaney. He's my backup VC option if I go away from the Cheezle man.
One that I have liked so far is Chad Warner, if anyone started him.
Yeah, he almost made the run sheet as well.
I feel like if you've got him, he's such a POD that you can get away with chucking a VC on him. Like,
Yeah.
honestly. Which moves it into the Sunday games. So this is where most people's loophole option will probably come from. So Sunday, we have at Mars Stadium, Western Bulldogs versus the Gold Coast Suns. And I cannot believe the Suns are $2.22 in this one. Gamble responsibly. They should be favourites. But anyway, who you got, Pato?
I like Bont in this. I guess it all depends on how people think the Dogs will go. We saw a lot of teams that played their first game in round one kind of struggle, and that can be a like opening round sort of thing. We saw Richmond be a lot better than they were in round zero in that bounce back game against the Blues. So I guess it depends on how you think that will go. Libba, from memory, has a pretty good record at Mars. As I quickly double check that, averages 108 there. So I can see him bouncing back. I think he'll have a nice tussle with Matt Rowell, who might not be a too bad of an option himself. Tim English could be a good shout, but that Mars ground is pretty small, so
Took
not
Miller for
sure
me.
how much. Pardon?
Took Miller for me. A Bont or a Took Miller?
Don't mind it for a VC.
Nah. Slap on the C. Let's go. We'll move on anyway, Pato, because my battery is dying and I still need to get this cranked up and uploaded later. So anyway, Richmond versus Port Adelaide at the MCG. Anyone from this one, Pato?
Butters, Rosie,
What a Dan
Houston.
Dickinson. No Richmond.
Nah.
Nah.
Maybe Nankervis actually against his old mate Soldo.
This is where I think the actual C is going to come from, Pato, in the next game. West Coast Eagles
Oh,
versus
yeah.
Giants.
Oh, yeah.
Big Tommy Green.
Tom Green isn't a bad shout.
Or Jesse Hogan, are you going to say?
Just keep in mind that they did send a tagger to Tom Green last year.
I don't think it matters anymore.
I mean, 106, so I wouldn't be happy with that as for a captain score. Jesse Hogan is a good option,
Whoa, Pato.
I think, and I'm very tempted. I'm just, yeah, I might be able to swing a Bontempelli VC into a Hogan if I can find a non. Oh, I do. I've got Livingston, so I can do that if I can get onto my phone after my basketball game. But
I feel like it's Tom Green.
I don't have Tom Green personally, but I think that's a good shout too.
All right. Anyway, Pato, what's your Twitter handle?
At PAWTOSCCC.
And mine is at DANEOSCCC. So from us at the Supercoach co-captains, I'm Dano.
And I'm Pato.
And this is us signing.
The fuck off.
Whoop, whoop.